Blind Geek Zone, podcast number 26 for June 11th, 2008. Hey, this is Rick, and I'm back again with a Blind Geek Zone podcast. It's been quite a while. You just checked out on the website, and my last BGZ podcast was on April 11th of this year, and this is now June 11th. So, just thought I'd update everybody as to what's been going on here for the last 2 months. I've been really busy working with things. I apologize for not getting a whole lot of tutorials, demos, and podcasts up to the website here in especially the last month. But I've been rather busy, so thought I'd get on today and just talk a bit with you. Been working on upgrading the computers a lot here. My 3 gigahertz machine has been in need of some work. It was having some heating issues and had to get a new heatsink put on the processor. And that's just been done here in the last week, so that's been working well. The system's been running a lot quieter. I replaced a power supply on the system that was getting rather noisy with a much quieter power supply. So noise levels have been dropped on the machine a lot. It's a lot quieter now. Waiting on some memory to come in today for it, and then I'll bump it up to 2 gig. I had ordered some memory for it last week, and unfortunately the memory, for whatever reason, didn't like the system. The system was unstable, so went ahead and ordered 2 1-gig modules, and those will be in today, so hopefully that'll be the end of that, and the upgrading will be done on the PC. Couple other things I was working on is I had purchased a Behringer mixing kit, a podcasting kit, as those of you who follow the Blind Cool Tech list and my BGZ list will know. I was testing it for a while. I kind of have backed off from it for now. I didn't really care for the microphone. It seemed overly sensitive and noisy. I'm not sure if I'm doing something wrong or not. But the mixer itself has been working good, and I do plan to use it at least for hooking multiple sources into the recording. So I think that'll work out pretty well. The FireWire connection that came with it that allowed it to hook into the computer digitally, I didn't care for it either. It was noisy, so I'm still evaluating that. Not sure what's going to go on with all that, but I'll certainly let you know. I was going to do a podcast on the kit, but either, you know, since I don't know what I'm doing with it, or it's not been very good, I'm not sure. I'm not ready to do that. I don't want to give it a poor review, you know, if that's not merited. Okay, what else have I been doing? I've been keeping busy. I've still been learning Braille. I'm on week 10, coming up on week 11 of my Braille training, and I've essentially completed the uncontracted Braille, grade 1 Braille. And I'm finishing up with that. Should be moving on to contracted Braille, grade 2 Braille, here in another, oh, I don't know, probably week or two. So that'll get really, really interesting. I don't know if I'm up for that, but hopefully I'll get it and I'll be fine with it. But the The uncontracted has went well. I'm doing pretty good with it, and I'm rather pleased with what I've learned so far, and I think that will at least be useful. Okay. I think next what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about some of the podcasts I have planned for recording here in the near future. I had gotten a hold of a program called Roxio Record Now Music Lab 9 and 10, and I found it to be quite accessible. And I've installed it on my system and I've played with it a bit, so I definitely want to give a review of that. I think it'll be a good program for a lot of people to use. A lot of people don't like to use Nero, don't understand Nero. Nero is expensive. In the store it's nearly $100. The digital download is $80. Get lucky and get a break, you can get it for about $50. But the Roxio Record Now versions 9 or 10 typically sell for $29.99, and they will allow you to do all kinds of different things with burning. They'll allow you to burn regular CDs, audio CDs, MP3 CDs, DVDs, you name it. Anything that Nero does, this certainly does, and for a lot less money. So I want to do a multi-part series on the program. The first part will go over just the basic interface of the program, show you around the program, and then after that, what I'll do is I'll just start taking sections and we'll start doing podcasts on those sections, like how to make an audio CD or how to make an MP3 CD, things like that. I am considering doing a podcast on AVG8. I'll talk a little bit more in detail about that in a minute. I'm going to do a podcast on a cell phone that I just recently purchased. That's pretty accessible. It's an LG 9100 from Verizon. So once I get a little bit more acquainted with that, I'm going to be doing a podcast of that unit. Let's see what else. Working on a Goldwave presentation for Accessible World, their Monday Night Tech Talk here on June 30th. And that will be about using Goldwave with Vista and some of the trials and tribulations of getting that done. I've had a lot of troubles, as you know, recording with Vista. And another reason why I'm upgrading the 3 gigahertz machine is I've found out that my Odyssey 2 card on that machine is capable of recording with what you hear, and I've successfully recorded a few test demonstrations with it, and it worked well. So I haven't been able to get the new Vista system, the Odyssey SE, or the Realtek high definition sound card to work as far as recording like that. The Realtek supports it through stereo mix, but it doesn't seem to work. And the Odyssey SE, for whatever reason, just totally does not support what you hear. So that's it was interesting to find out that the 3 gig machine, because I haven't used it in quite a while. That's the machine I initially was teaching Vista on and demonstrating Vista on last year before I upgraded to the new Vista machine. And I just started playing around with it again here recently. I'd updated it to Service Pack 1 and all that, and got a video card in it that was more to its liking, and you know, found out that that did indeed work, so I figured I'd need to get some more memory for it and everything. So that's going to help do some more demonstrations of Vista. And that discussion will be, as I said, on the Monday, June 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern on Accessible World's Tech Talk podcast, livecast, where they use talking communities. And that's open to all. They can seat as many people as you want. And you might want to come listen to that. Okay, let's see. Now I'm going to talk, I guess, a little bit about some of the new updated tech things that have been going on. A couple of new things that have come out since my last podcast that I did back in April is Vista Service Pack 1 has come out, and that's getting put on Vista machines now through automatic updates. I've noticed that some people have had problems with the automatic update not putting it on their machine. You can't go through the Microsoft site to get the SP1 download. It's rather big. It's over 400 meg. But if you're having difficulties getting automatic updates to do it, that's one way that you could go about doing it. I've been running it here for quite a while now. I've had no issues with it. Everybody I've talked to basically hasn't had any issues with it. It's made Vista run a lot better, faster in a lot of cases. The only people that might not want to download it immediately and might want to check with their manufacturers would be HP. Some of the HP machines have some issues with Service Pack 1, and they need a program patch applied prior to putting Service Pack 1 on. Other than that, I'm not aware of any real big issues. Also, Service Pack 3 for XP has came out as well, and that's now being pushed out through automatic updates as well. And I've been running that here as well with no issues. Haven't talked to anybody really with issues. There was one issue about machines rebooting over and over, and that was with HP again. I guess they had some Athlon systems that had Intel code on them and was causing some problems. So you might want to check there if you're an HP user with an Athlon system before going to Service Pack 3 for XP. But other than that, no problems that I'm aware of. So just wanted to let everybody know, in case you didn't know, that those are rolling out now through automatic updates. As many of you know by now, JAWS 9.0 build 2169 is out, and from what I've heard from a couple of people that have talked to FS, that is the final build of JAWS 9. JAWS 9 is now done, and we're moving on to JAWS 10, which will most likely be released probably, you'll probably start hearing about it in October, and it'll probably be released in November, I would imagine. That's generally what happens. So, let's hope that JAWS 10 provides us with some new functionality and hopefully fixes some of the bugs that are still present in JAWS 9. Another program that is just recently came out was AVG 8.0. It's been out a couple of months now, and there's been a lot of talk, as some of you probably know on the mailing list and stuff, about accessibility of the product. I've used it here. I'm using the free version here on one of the machines, and there was some problems with JAWS 9, well, actually all versions of JAWS, with AVG8 and the interface crashing. I had found a workaround, several other people had found a workaround, that if you turn JAWS off, activate the AVG8 console, then turn JAWS back on, you were fine, and it didn't crash. It requires quite a bit more JAWS cursoring than the AVG 7.5 version did, but for anyone that, you know, knows how to JAWS cursor, the program actually is fairly accessible despite what a lot of people are saying on mailing lists and stuff that are, you know, saying the program isn't accessible. I've used it here, I've got it set up here, and for the most part I don't have any problems with it. I don't understand some aspects of the new scanning features. You know, on 7.5, a program was simply a thread or it wasn't, and it would be dealt with or it wouldn't. So on AVG8, it checks spyware and things like that, and when you're scanning, you'll see that you have warnings, infections, and threats. And what confuses me is, like the other day I was scanning and it said I had 8 infections and 100 and some odd warnings. Well, it doesn't describe anywhere what these infections or warnings were that I could tell. And then it said, you know, threats removed, 0. So, not quite sure what that's all about, and that's kind of hard to deal with. So I'm kind of debating on what I want to do with AVG here in the future. 7.5 was supposed to be phased out on May 31st, and I don't know if there was enough requests from the blind community or just requests overall, but it is now being supported through December 31st. So if you haven't switched from AVG 7.5 to 8, you really don't have to for now. You can continue using 7.5, and you won't have any problems through the end of the year. And I think for most users that haven't switched, that's what I do. And if you're really uncomfortable with AVG 8, you know, simply uninstall it and reinstall 7.5 if you don't have it. You can go to my website and download a later version of 7.5 that will work for you. And then you can just continue using that through the rest of the year. One of the problems I've noticed with AVG8 is that it doesn't support some of the things that the pay version of AVG8 supports. They've made some changes. You know, as you know, 7.5 and earlier versions of AVG supported the same things, whether it was a pay version or a not pay version. Now, starting with AVG8, the free version is rather lacking as to what it does. You know, it scans for files, of course. It still has real-time scanning. But one of the things it doesn't do is it doesn't check internet downloads like it used to. You have to buy the pay version for it to scan those, so you won't catch them right away if there's a virus in the file. You'll either have to wait till the scan or till you open it, and the real-time detection will catch it. And, you know, I guess that's okay, but I still prefer the fact that it's caught, you know, right as you try to download it. Now, a lot of people have switched to Avast, and I haven't played with Avast here myself, but the free version of it does a lot of things that AVG doesn't necessarily do, and it's definitely worth looking at. And as I said, a lot of AVG users, as of AVG8 coming out, have kind of made a switch to that, and I may do that myself here. I haven't decided yet. Okay, something I wanted to talk about next is I'm considering making some changes a little bit to the BGZ podcast recordings. I'm kind of toying around with the idea of having multiple people on the podcast at the same time, probably through a Skype call. You know, have myself and one or two others. And on top of the things that I would be contributing, you know, we would talk about other things. And quite a few people do this, and I've noticed the podcasts are rather interesting and can kind of widen what we talk about, you know, with multiple people's views on things. And I may do one of these in the next few weeks. And I think it'll be interesting. If it works out well, I think I will continue doing it for at least some of the podcasts, some of the BGC podcasts here in the future. But if anybody is interested in contributing with me, you know, contact me. And, you know, I've got a few people that are interested, but always looking for excuse me, always looking for variety. So, if anybody is interested, let me know. Okay, and a couple last things here, and then I'll wrap up. I've made a few changes to the website in the audio section. The audio section is getting really big. So what I did is put some more headers, kind of separated things by month. In the recent podcast section up in the top of the page. Help you maneuver a little more easily. As many of you probably know, there's headings for each section, like the Gold Wave section, the Nero section, the demonstration section, things like that. You know, if you're using JAWS, you know, you could just simply hit your H key. Up in the navigation, there are a couple different levels of headings, level 2, level 3. You can simply press your 1, 2, or 3 keys if you want to jump by level of heading, but you can do it either way, the H key or the 1, 2, 3, whatever. And hopefully that'll make navigation a bit more easy on that page. It's getting rather large, so kind of wanted to do that. I really don't want to split the page up, but I've considered that too, making a couple audio pages. One for newer stuff and maybe an archive page for some of the older stuff, because I think there's over 100 recordings on the page now, and you know, some people may have some difficulty finding things. Okay, well, that's about it. Received a few donations here in the last month, and I wanted to again thank everybody for their donations to the website. You know, donations help me keep the website going and help me do new things on the website. So they are greatly appreciated. And as always, anybody that's interested in contributing a donation to the website, it's greatly appreciated. Okay, that wraps up this podcast. Hopefully here pretty quick I'll start having some new material up on the website once I get everything straightened out here on my PCs and get my Gold Wave presentation wrapped up for Accessible World. And so, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next time. Here's my contact information. My website is the Blind Geek Zone. The address is www.blind-geek-zone.net. My Skype ID is rharmon928. That's R-H-A-R-M-O-N 928. My MSN contact information is rharmon928@hotmail.com. My email address is rharmon, that's R-H-A-R-M-O-N, @blind-geek-zone.net. If you have any questions or comments on any of the audio recordings I've done, any of the podcasts, tutorials, or demos, please feel free to contact me. If you're in need of training or technical support or website development assistance, please feel free to contact me. If you have any other comments or suggestions, please feel free to contact me.